Obedience is faith. If I were to ask you, how do you obey God? You'd probably say, well, by doing whatever God says to do. And you'd be correct. More specifically, if God gives a law and you perform that law, that's biblical obedience. Hopefully you're the kind of person that just wants to know whatever scripture says, even if you've never heard it before, because I'm fairly certain you've never heard what we're about to tell you. We'll give you scripture for every single point along the way, though. So please acknowledge the biblical evidence that we're giving, and don't just take our word for it. There's been a change of law. If you were to ask most Christians what God's commandments are, they're probably going to quote the Ten Commandments. Here's the funny thing. Those are Old Testament commandments. We as believers say that we live in a new covenant, with a new sacrifice, with a new high priest, who went into a new heavenly tabernacle, with new and better promises, and yet we quote the commandments from the Old Covenant as God's current commandments. Does anyone else find that strange? Now, granted, the Ten Commandments are holy and just and good, Romans 7:12, but they are still old commandments. Hebrews 8:13 says, "In that he says a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete." For some reason, most Christians don't see any problem with quoting old commandments in a new covenant. But do you see anything weird about that? Especially considering the fact that the Bible says that in this new covenant, there's been a change of law. Yes, that's right. There has been a change of law. There's a new law to go along with our new covenant. And doesn't that just make sense? Hebrews 7:12 says, "For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law." Don't believe us? Just read that verse again. It's as clear as it can possibly be. If we have a new covenant and a new high priest, then there also must be a change of law. That's what Hebrews 7 is trying to say. And if the law has changed in this new covenant, then we're completely inaccurate for quoting the Ten Commandments as God's current law. Remember, the Ten Commandments are good, but they are the Old Testament commandments. The commandments of the first covenant, meaning the Ten Commandments and all the other commandments to go along with it, are referred to in the Bible as the law of works. And that's a pretty good name for it, because all the Old Testament commandments require you to do some kind of work. Hence all of the thou shalls and thou shall nots. But as we just read from Hebrews, there has been a change of law in this new covenant. That's indisputable. And that new law is called the law of faith. You can see it here in Romans 3:27. It says, "Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith." Trust me, there's plenty of more scripture coming, but from this verse we see two different kinds of laws, the law of works and the law of faith. The Old Testament law required works from people, and this is why the law of works was so ineffective, because sinful man, apart from Jesus, simply can't keep it. You can see that in Hebrews 7:18. It says, "For on the one hand, there's an annulling of the former commandment," speaking about the Old Testament commandments, "because of its weakness and unprofitableness." And Acts 7:53 says, "Who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it." You see, God didn't give the Ten Commandments thinking that you could keep it. He gave it to prove that you can't. That way you'd stop working and put faith in Jesus instead. Galatians 3:23 through 24 says that. It says, "But before faith came, we were under guard by the law, kept for the faith that would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ." So the Old Testament law was just a temporary thing, put in place to drive us to put faith in Jesus. The Old Testament law is no longer God's current law. And yes, that includes the Ten Commandments. I'm not just referring to the traditions of the law. 2 Corinthians 3:7 through 11 clearly explains that the words written on stones, quote-unquote, referring to the Ten Commandments, was meant to pass away. It was temporary. And now we have a new law to go along with our new covenant. And that should just make sense. New Covenant Law. In this new covenant, the only thing that God requires from mankind is that they believe on what Jesus has done. He says it himself right here. John 6:28 through 29 says, "Then they said to him, 'What shall we do that we may work the works of God?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent.'" Notice that the people wanted to know how to do the works of God, plural. But Jesus said, "This is the work of God," singular, "that you believe in him." There's one law for us to keep in this new covenant, and that is the law of faith. That's what Jesus is saying here. Now, even if you're not seeing this just yet, just humor me for one second. If the New Covenant law really was to simply put faith in Jesus, what do you think our obedience would be called? Well, under a law of faith, you might call our obedience the obedience of faith, right? I think that's reasonable. No wonder Paul refers to our obedience in this New Covenant this way. Romans 1:5 in the ASV says, "Through whom we have received grace and apostleship unto obedience of faith among all the nations." What did Paul just call our obedience? Faith. Well, that certainly would make sense if we were under a law of faith, right? Romans 16:26 says, "The commandment of the eternal God is made known unto all nations unto, or resulting in, obedience of faith." That verse mentions the commandment of God, and then it says that we obey it with faith. Now pay close attention to this one. 1 Peter 2:7 through 8 says, "Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, a rock of offense." Did you catch that? Peter just used disobedience as the opposite of belief. Are we seeing a trend here? Romans 6:17 says, "Yet you obeyed from the heart, or your mind, that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." You see, your heart is just another word for your mind. You can see Luke 9:47 for that. In fact, Romans 10:10 says that your heart is where you believe. And Paul clearly says here that we obey God with our heart, or you can say with our mind. Need more evidence? Well, Paul makes it even clearer here by saying that we obey God with our thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Listen, if you don't hear anything else, please take another look at those verses. Could they be any clearer? Our New Covenant obedience is faith. Obedience happens in your heart or your mind, and we obey God with our thoughts. To be honest, most of our biblical proof is actually still to come, but even with the verses we've read already, how do you explain this? A lot of people just want to believe what they already believe. But I'm curious, how do you interpret these verses? This cannot just be brushed off. Do you believe that Paul said that obedience is faith and that obedience happens in our heart with simply our thoughts? Do we deny that Jesus said that the work of God was to simply believe in himself? Or do we deny that Hebrews said that there's been a change of law, or that Romans speaks about the law of faith versus the law of works? Let's all be people that care more about what the Bible says than what we've been taught before, because God really wants to teach you something here. God's only law for us to keep in this new covenant is to believe what Jesus has done for us. This is why our obedience is spoken of this way in the New Testament. The obedience of faith doesn't mean that faith causes our obedience. No, faith is obedience. Yes, faith is the obedience. All of your obedience to God in this new covenant happens right between your ears. All of it. And don't worry, at the end of this article, we're going to explain the importance of good works, because godliness, holy living, and good works are all very important, but we do need to know how to obey God first. The church is largely ignorant of the very law that we live under. Loving the Lord with your heart. Now let's go another layer deeper here. Everybody has heard the commandment, "You shall love the Lord your God with your heart," right? What do you think that means? Most people just interpret that to mean that we should love God with everything we've got or something like that. But I'm sorry, that's totally incorrect. Did you know that when God says to love him with all of your heart, he's actually talking about putting faith in Jesus? Yep, and that's not just me saying it, that's the Bible saying it. First, let's look at the commandments that Jesus lays out in Matthew 22:37-39. The first commandment he lays out here is, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." The second commandment he states is, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Okay, now let's look at how those exact verses are quoted by the Holy Spirit in the book of 1 John. 1 John 3:23 quotes those two commandments and says, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another, as he gave us commandment." So the two commandments he quotes are that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus, and then the second one is love one another. Now either John is completely misquoting Jesus here, or the church is severely wrong in the way we've interpreted this commandment. John quoted Jesus' first commandment of loving the Lord with your heart as believing in his Son Jesus, Remember, that's not me saying it. That's your Bible interpreting that commandment. Jesus said, love the Lord with your heart and love your neighbor. The Holy Spirit, through John, quoted those commandments as believe in Jesus and love one another. Loving the Lord with your heart, soul, and mind literally means believing God's Son. And this just makes sense. Paul referred to our obedience of faith in the book of Romans as obedience from the heart. Your heart is just another word for your mind, as is your soul. See Luke 2:35 for that. So when God says, love me with your heart, he's simply saying, love me by believing my Son, in your heart. And we don't even have to debate over this interpretation because the book of 1 John already settled it for us. Love the Lord with your heart means believe in God's Son, according to 1 John. Okay, so have you got that locked in? Good. Keep that in the back of your mind now, because it's going to be very important in a second. God's private meeting with Moses. All right, now this is probably something you've never heard before, so pay close attention. Did you know that when God spoke the Ten Commandments to Israel, the people of Israel were terrified of those words, believing that they would die? They were so afraid at the giving of the Ten Commandments that they pleaded that Moses would go and hear from the Lord for them and relay the message to them. And after God heard the terror of the people, God told Moses, they are right in everything that they've said. Now here's the most important part. After seeing how afraid Israel was of the Ten Commandments, God pulled Moses aside privately at Mount Sinai and said, stay back and I'm going to give you the commandments that they should keep. Then in this private meeting with Moses, which Moses didn't even tell the people about for 40 years, God spoke to Moses the new covenant law, the law of faith. Don't believe us? Well, that's okay, because you can read it for yourself. What we're about to read is occurring 40 years after the Ten Commandments were given, and 40 years after God told Moses about the law of faith, which initially occurred in Exodus chapter 20. Moses is just now recounting that day to the people. And here it is, Deuteronomy 5, verse 25. The people tell Moses, now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. And verse 28 says, then the Lord heard the voice of your words, which you spoke to me, referring to Moses, and the Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken to you, and they are right in all that they have spoken. You see, the people are terrified at the giving of the Ten Commandments, believing that they would die. And God replies, they are right in all that they've spoken. You see, God got the reaction to the Ten Commandments that he wanted. They were right to fear the giving of the law of works, because anyone that tries to abide by that law will die. 2 Corinthians 3:7 even calls the Ten Commandments the ministry of death. So in regard to their terrified reaction, God doesn't disagree at all. In fact, he says, they are right in all that they've spoken. But wait, it gets better. God told Moses to have everyone go to their tents, and this is what God said privately to Moses at Mount Sinai. In Deuteronomy 5, verse 30 through 31, God says to Moses, go and say to them, return to your tents. But as for you, speaking about Moses, stand here by me, and I will speak to you all the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which you shall teach them, that they may observe them in the land which I'm giving them to possess. So you see that God dismisses everyone else to their tents, but tells Moses to stay back. And because the people didn't take well to the giving of the Ten Commandments, God was about to give Moses another law that the people would be able to keep. So in a private meeting with Moses, God gave him this second law, which had never been spoken of before. And here it is. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 through 6 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words, which I command you today, shall be in your heart. Now wait. Do you remember how the Lord interpreted this commandment in the book of 1 John? He said that loving the Lord your God with your heart was believing in his Son. And that's indisputable. That is God's interpretation. So let's get this straight. The people can't bear the giving of the law of works, the Ten Commandments. And so God basically tells Moses, they're right to be afraid. Moses, you stay back by me, and I'm going to give you a law for them to keep. And here it is. Love the Lord your God with your heart, or aka, just believe in my Son with all your heart, and that'll do. Do you realize what we just read? We just witnessed God prophesying of the new covenant law, and he did it privately the very day that the Old Testament law was given. It's just that in Deuteronomy, Moses finally tells the people. If you've ever heard a pastor or a theologian explain the book of Deuteronomy, they usually just say that Deuteronomy is a book in which Moses rehearses the same laws that were given at Mount Sinai. But that's not exactly true. Moses does rehearse some things that happened at Mount Sinai, but the point of the book of Deuteronomy isn't about rehearsing old laws. In Deuteronomy, Moses speaks to the people about the new covenant law of loving the Lord with your heart. That law was never spoken to the people at Mount Sinai. In fact, Moses himself says that the covenant spoken of in Deuteronomy was not, I repeat, not the same covenant that was made with them at Mount Sinai, but a separate law altogether. See for yourself. Deuteronomy 29, verse 1 in the Young's Literal Translation says, "These are the words of the covenant, apart from the covenant which he made with them in Horeb, or Sinai." Need further proof that Deuteronomy is actually about the law of faith? Well, Paul quotes the book of Deuteronomy and says that it's the word of faith which we preach. Romans 10, 7 through 8 says, "Who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead?" Now that's a quote from the book of Deuteronomy. And he goes on to say in verse 8 that this word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Yes, Deuteronomy is when Moses speaks the law of faith to the people for the first time. It's a prophecy of the new covenant law. What about good works? And now, with all of that said, what about doing good works? How can we say that God only requires faith and knowledge of Jesus in this new covenant? What about good works? Doesn't God require good works too? Well, here it is, plain and simple. God has not given us a law to do good works, only faith in Jesus. But the reason why he can do that is because good works are actually a result of faith and knowledge of Jesus. Faith produces love and good works. You can see 2 Corinthians 3:18 and Romans 12:2 actually says that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Therefore, when Jesus was asked what the greatest, most important commandment was, notice that Jesus didn't speak any of the Ten Commandments. He spoke the commandment of Deuteronomy, or second law, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, or faith in Jesus. This is the great commandment, and no other commandment in the entire Bible is called the great commandment except this one. Faith in God's Son is the first and great commandment. But then Jesus spoke of a second commandment. Matthew 22, 37-39 says, "Jesus said to them, 'You shall love the Lord your God with your heart. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" Notice Jesus puts an order to these commandments. He says that believing him, or loving him with your heart, comes first, and loving your neighbor comes second. He will never reverse that order. Faith first, love second. What Jesus is trying to say here is that faith produces love for your neighbor. Love for your neighbor is the result of faith. That's why Jesus puts them in that order. Faith comes first, and then love is worked out of us second. Paul actually says that right here in Galatians 5:6. He says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but," watch this, "faith which works by love." Or you could say, faith produces love. Notice what Paul says here. He says, it doesn't matter if a person is circumcised or uncircumcised, but faith which works by love, and that means that faith works out of us love. This next verse is very similar. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 19 says, "Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God." Notice that before in Galatians 5, Paul said, circumcision doesn't matter, and uncircumcision doesn't matter, but what? Faith which works by love. Well, in this verse, in 1 Corinthians 7, he says, circumcision doesn't matter, and uncircumcision doesn't matter, but keeping the commandments of God. He replaces faith which works by love with the term keeping the commandments of God. Okay, now let's pause. I thought that God's only law for us to keep in this new covenant was faith in Jesus. Does this mean that there's more than just faith in Jesus that's required? No, God's only new covenant law for us to keep is faith, period. Hence, obedience of faith. But when you put faith in Jesus, it automatically produces a love for your neighbor. And here's some more biblical proof for that. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5 says, "Now the purpose of the commandment is love, from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith." Notice he says that the purpose of the commandment is love, from a sincere faith. The result of God's new covenant commandment is love. 1 Peter 1:22 says, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto, or resulting in, an unfeigned love of the brethren." Peter says that obeying the truth, or faith, results in a love for our neighbor. You see, faith first, and then love is worked out second. And just so you know, loving your neighbor is the fulfillment of every good work that God could ever want you to do. So you could say that faith in Jesus produces every possible good work in you. You see that here in Galatians 5:14. He says, "For all the law," speaking about the law of works and the Ten Commandments, "is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So, okay, do we need to make sure we believe in Jesus but also work hard to love our neighbor? No, you just start learning what Jesus has done for you, and that will produce a love for your neighbor all by itself. It'll produce all the good works we could never do under the law of works. Faith produces love. Those are the commandments that Jesus laid out, but faith is the only one we must do, again, hence obedience of faith, because the one produces love for your neighbor. One produces the other. It's no wonder that all through the New Testament, the apostles speak about faith and love. Have you ever wondered that? Colossians 1:4 says, "We heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints." Ephesians 1:15 says, "I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints." 1 Thessalonians 3:6 says, "Timothy brought us good news of your faith and love." You can also see Ephesians 6:23, 1 Thessalonians 5:8, 2 Thessalonians 1:3, and Philemon 1:5. They all speak about faith and love. So I think it's clear. Faith is God's law, and faith produces love. Now, if faith produces love, what do you think happens if people don't believe in God's Son? Well, no love is produced, right? Well, that would make sense out of Matthew 24:12 then. Speaking of the last days, it says, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." You see, in the New Covenant, lawlessness is merely unbelief. And if faith produces love, then it's no wonder that when lawlessness or unbelief abounds, love grows cold. In closing, there's so much more that could be explained on this topic, but this article would go on much longer. Once you've learned these things, you'll see it everywhere in the Bible. You'll scan through the books of Kings and Chronicles, and you'll see that the kings who did right in God's sight were the ones that served him with their heart, quote unquote. You'll see the terms lawfulness and lawlessness, obedience and disobedience, like in Hebrews chapters 3 and 4, in a totally new light. And now you'll know how to obey God. Obedience is just learning what Jesus has done for you with all of your heart. Love and good works will be produced from that faith, but love and good works are not our obedience. Our obedience is faith, and that will produce good works all by itself. And even at the end of this age, there will be many people that will call Jesus their Lord, claiming that they've kept his law. They'll tell Jesus about all the good works that they've done for him, but Jesus isn't looking for good works from us. Jesus will actually turn them away because despite their attempts to do the right thing, they didn't keep his law. And his law is simply faith in him. You see that in Matthew 7:22 through 23. He says, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I'll declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" You see, we can preach the gospel, we can help others, we can do many wonders in the name of Jesus, and all of those are great things, but that is not our obedience in this new covenant. Remember, obedience isn't doing whatever is right in our own sight. And obedience isn't doing what we call obedience. Obedience is doing God's law. And that law in this new covenant is the law of faith, period. If you'll just start learning and getting to know Jesus, you'll actually be fulfilling God's commandments 100% because obedience is faith. Numbers 14:11 and 24. Questions and answers. Question: Jesus commanded lots of things in the Bible. How can you say that faith is the only thing we need to do? Answer: There are many, many things that Jesus has told us are proper to do, and that's totally true, but there's only one law. Nothing else is law to the believer except faith. All good works are produced from that one thing. And here's a great example. Didn't Jesus command his disciples to raise the dead and cast out devils? Well, of course he did. In Matthew 10:8, he says, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils." And yet, Jesus says that men will come to him at the end of the age, saying that they cast out devils in his name, and Jesus will still tell them, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." So sure, Jesus told his disciples to cast out devils, but that's not the New Testament law. So despite men having cast out devils in his name, Jesus is going to tell them, "Yes, but you didn't keep my law." And despite there being many, many things that the Bible advocates for men to do, that's not our obedience. Faith is the only law, and all good works are a result of that faith. In fact, there are no good works produced through us aside from learning and knowing Jesus. You can see Romans 12:2 and 2 Corinthians 3:18 for that. Question: What if a person is living in sin? Are you saying that it's okay as long as they believe in Jesus? Answer: Of course, sin is not okay. But their answer isn't working harder on their behavior, because if we could do that, we could have stayed in the Old Testament. The only reason people live in sin is because they lack knowledge of Jesus. So actually, the answer for them is to simply renew their mind. 2 Peter 1:7 through 9 says, "For if these things be in you," speaking about godliness, "and abound, they make you neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things," speaking about godliness, "is actually blind and cannot see afar off, having forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." So you see, lack of godliness just means lack of knowledge of Jesus. Question: How can you say that faith is the only thing that's necessary when James says faith is dead without works? Answer: Right. So if there's no good works, what is it that's dead? The faith is dead. So fix the faith, and there will be good works. It's the faith that's the issue. Question: If faith is our only obedience to God, and unbelief is our only disobedience in this new covenant, are you saying that sin isn't disobedience to God? Answer: Well, if you're talking about sinful actions, aside from unbelief, then that is correct. Sinful actions are not disobedience to God. Paul says that here, actually. 1 Corinthians 10:23, Paul says, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify." Sin is wrong, but it's not disobedience. Sin is unprofitable, but it's not against God's law. It's just a sign that you need to renew your mind more. Question: Why do some places in the Bible say to love the Lord with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, like in Mark 12:30 or in Deuteronomy 6:4 through 5? Answer: The strength that God is speaking about in Deuteronomy and then quoted by Jesus is actually strength of your heart. It means to do it with vehemence, with all the force of your heart. And you know that this is speaking about strength of your heart, or vehemence of your heart, because after God gives this commandment, he clarifies. Deuteronomy 6:4 through 6 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." God commands you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. But then right after the word strength, he clarifies and tells us that this command is performed completely in your heart. And that concludes the Obedience is Faith audio article. For more articles like this and free messages, you can go to reforminus.com. Thanks for listening.